The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Vision's 2022 registration closes March 31st. About clinical trials. From EyesOnGenes.com, emerging science on inherited retinal diseases. From People.com, a blind cat rescued from shelter rubble in Texas. From the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, Team Tethered Together. Let's get started. From FightingBlindness.org, welcome to Visions 2022, Friday, June 17th through Saturday, June 18th, 2022. Visions 2022, the National Conference of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, is a one-of-a-kind event in which individuals who are visually impaired and their families have the opportunity to hear about exciting advancements in blindness research. All attendees can gain practical skills for coping with vision loss, learn about products and services that can improve their lives, and connect with others from across the country. The program is designed specifically for individuals and families who are affected by blinding retinal diseases, such as age-related macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, and related conditions. These diseases cause progressive blindness and affect more than 10 million Americans and millions more around the world. More than 500 individuals in the visually impaired community are expected to attend this informative and encouraging conference. Visions 2022 provides the perfect backdrop for organizations offering low vision products, services, and resources to meet with and market their brand to this targeted audience. Register. Registration for Visions 2022 is now open. Purchase tickets by March 31st, 2022 to receive the 10% early bird discount with promotional code VISIONS2022. Click on the button below to go to the Visions 2022 registration page. Register at the hot link. Location, Disney's Coronado Springs Resort, 1000 West Buena Vista Drive, Lake Buena Vista, Florida, 32836. Accommodations. The Foundation Fighting Blindness has secured a rate of $189 per night, non-tower, single-double occupancy, or $239 a night, tower, single-double occupancy, at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort for Visions 2022 guests. Please make your reservations by May 26, 2022 to receive this roommate and ensure availability. All reservations should be made, modified, or canceled by you, the conference attendee, by calling the Disney Group Reservations Team at 407-939-4686 and referring to the group and meeting name Foundation Fighting Blindness Visions 2022 Conference. Disney cast members are available Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and Saturday and Sunday, 8:30 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. All attendees will be responsible for their room, tax, and incidental charges. You may also make reservations online at the hot link. The Visions 2022 speakers include Chad E. Foster, a motivational keynote speaker, sales finance leader, and inspirational change agent who works at Red Hat IBM. He was the first blind executive to graduate from Harvard Business School's Program for Leadership Development. Despite going blind while attending college in his early 20s, Chad started at Accenture and has built a career in the technology industry, where he has directed financial strategies and decisions resulting in more than $45 billion in contracts. He speaks to corporate audiences and professional athletes to help them develop resilience in the face of uncertainty. He has been featured in Forbes, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, USA Today, Harvard Lifelong Learning, BuzzFeed, Yahoo, Chief Executive Mag, and continues to inspire audiences across the world with his personal story. He lives with his wife and two children in Atlanta, Georgia. Learn more about Chad and his recently published book, Blind Ambition, How to Go from Victim to Visionary, on his website, chadefoster.com. Marsha Link, Ph.D. Marsha Link is an innovative and seasoned professional who has a broad range of expertise as a clinician, executive coach, human resource professional, and educator. She is recognized as an experienced professional who works effectively with a variety of people in diverse environments. Marcia is principal of Link Consulting, providing services to clients in the profit and not-for-profit sectors. Her background includes working in the medical field for decades, first as a psychiatric social worker at Indiana University Medical Center, then as a co-founder of Chiron Vision, C-H-I-R-O-N, an ophthalmic medical device company. She has been involved in the ophthalmology sector not only as a businesswoman, but served as president for 3 years for OWL, Ophthalmic World Leaders, helping the organization develop its mission of advancing diverse leadership in ophthalmology. In 2016, she received the Visionary Leader Award from OWL. She has also served as adjunct faculty at the University of California and Webster University, both in Irvine, California. Marcia holds a Master of Arts and a doctorate degree in psychology from the Fielding Graduate University and a Master of Science in Counseling and Personnel Services from Purdue University. In 2015, she was the recipient of the Outstanding Alumni Award from the College of Education at Purdue University. She completed the certificate in Human Resource Management from the University of California, Irvine, where she subsequently taught. She received a Bachelor of Music Education from Manchester University, where she received an honorary doctorate in 2009. Marcia served for 3 years as the Manchester University Chair for the Board of Trustees. Marcia has served on a variety of not-for-profit organizations and has a strong sense of philanthropy. She currently serves as one of three co-chairs for the Foundation Fighting Blindness National Campaign, Victory for Vision, and is honored to be a part of the Vision's 2022 event. She is especially eager to find cures for retinal diseases since a family member is challenged with retinitis pigmentosa. Marcia resides in Newport Beach, California, and in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, with her husband, Bill. She is a proud mother of Bradley and Elizabeth and grandmother of four wonderful grandchildren. Her hobbies include traveling, hiking, and enjoying performances in the arts. Marcia can be reached at marcialink@forlink.biz. Also from fightingblindness.org, Aldeyra, A-L-D-E-Y-R-A, launches Phase 2 clinical trial of methotrexate intravitreal injections for RP. The biotechnology company Aldeyra Therapeutics has launched a Phase 2 clinical trial of ADX-2191, an intravitreal injection of methotrexate for people with autosomal dominant retinitis pigmentosa caused by the P23H mutation in the rhodopsin gene. Taking place at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina, the 3-month trial will enroll 8 patients. 4 will receive monthly injections of ADX-2191. 4 will receive injections of the emerging therapy twice each month. The trial will evaluate the safety and tolerability of ADX-2191. Aldeyra plans to report trial results in the second half of 2022. Methotrexate is an FDA-approved treatment for certain types of cancer, severe psoriasis, or rheumatoid arthritis. The drug slows or stops the growth of cancer cells and suppresses the immune system. The rhodopsin protein, when bound to a form of vitamin A called 11-cis-retinal, bestows light sensitivity to rod photoreceptors. The P23H mutation causes the rhodopsin protein to be misfolded, reducing its trafficking and function in rod photoreceptors. Ultimately, that leads to photoreceptor degeneration and vision loss. Lab studies have shown that methotrexate can improve the trafficking and function of the misfolded rhodopsin protein. From eyesongenes.com, EYESONGENES, today the first gene therapy for an inherited retinal disease caused by variants on the RPE65 gene is available. Behold the possibilities of emerging therapies. Over 30 clinical trials are either completed or underway for different types of inherited retinal diseases such as retinitis pigmentosa, X-linked retinitis pigmentosa, Leber congenital amaurosis, achromatopsia, Usher syndrome, and Stargardt disease. These trials explore the potential of gene therapy and several other technologies. After receiving your genetic results, your genetic counselor and eye specialist may recommend extra steps to find out if you are eligible for a clinical trial or approved therapy. Learn more about ongoing trials at the hot link. Science is advancing the future of inherited retinal disease treatment. Many gene therapy innovations are now being studied. Each therapy is designed to affect genes associated with inherited retinal disease in a special way. Gene augmentation therapy works by replacing mutated genes with new normal copies of that gene. RNA, ribonucleic acid, editing fixes the faulty instructions required to create proteins. Gene editing corrects the gene variants instead of delivering a new gene. See what's possible when you test or retest. Ask your eye specialist about genetic testing today. More answers lie in our genes. While you can't change what you inherit, you may find answers that can help put you in control of your future. Four simple steps to test. Know what to expect before, during, and after your genetic test or retest. There are hot links for both of those. From People.com, blind cat rescued from rubble of Texas animal shelter destroyed by tornado and named Nado by Natasha Dado. Dateline March 23rd. On Monday, animal rescuers pulled a blind cat from the rubble left behind by a tornado that destroyed the Texas-based Jacksboro Animal Shelter. According to KDFW-TV, the cat was named Nado after the unconfirmed tornado that ripped the roof off two schools in Jacksboro and caused damage to the animal shelter, dozens of homes. The news outlet added that the woman who found Nado on Tuesday stated the feline appeared frightened when found, but was in good health overall. The cat's savior reportedly took Nado home and cleaned him up. Denton Animal Support Foundation, DASF, a nonprofit dedicated to helping save Texas pets, assisted with rescue efforts at the damaged Jacksboro Animal Shelter. DASF posted a photo of Nado on social media after the feline's rescue, which shows the cat wet and dirty while being held by a person. Our thoughts are with the animals and staff of the Jacksboro Animal Shelter, which took a direct hit by a tornado yesterday. All animals were accounted for with just some minor injuries, DASF wrote on Facebook, along with the photo of Nado. Rescue workers found this cat in the rubble. They have named him Nado, as in tornado. He will be checked out by a vet and brought to the Springtown Animal Shelter or to a foster home, the nonprofit added in its post. Photos posted by Tall Tales Rescue and Transport show the damage Jacksboro Animal Shelter sustained. The shelter is gone, the rescue group captioned the post. According to the group, no animals from the shelter were injured by the tornado. No animals were injured. We assisted Jacksboro Shelter, which is 30 miles west of us. We only took in animals that were housed at the time of the tornado. All animals found after the storm will be housed at the Live Oak Vet. The animals are safe, wrote the group Monday. From the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes.org, USABA.org, Team Tethered Together. Team Tethered Together is USABA's endurance running program for blind and visually impaired runners and sighted guides. In 2022, the program will expand from its original race, the California International Marathon, CIM, to a second race offering a half marathon and 5K, the Philadelphia Distance Run, PDR. Going into the 13th year of the USABA Marathon National Championships in 2022, there are many runners and guides who race CIM every year because of the community, camaraderie, and support, which will be replicated at PDR. During race weekend, USABA provides a one-of-a-kind experience, including pre-race meals with race briefings, award ceremony, logistical support, and help with identifying sighted guides. Through the generosity of USABA's supporters, we are able to offer runners post-race scholarships to help offset the cost of race entries and travel. See details below. Do you need to be fast to participate? No, we play host to a very diverse group of blind runners that range from teenagers to those over 70 years old, from former first-time marathoners to Paralympians. These events are intended for runners of all ability levels who are interested in traveling to destination races with a training goal in mind. 2022 Endurance Event Number 1, Philadelphia Distance Run. Race date, Sunday, September 18th, 2022. Pre-race gathering, Saturday, September 17th, 2022. Post-race awards, Sunday, September 18th, 2022. Distance, half marathon, and 5K. Host hotel, Sheraton, Philadelphia, downtown, 201 North 17th Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19103. Awards, USABA will award the top three visually impaired men and women division winners for both the half marathon and 5K. Prizes are not broken down into visual classifications. Post-race scholarships, $250. 30 total, 10 reserved for U.S. veterans. Requirements. Number one, be one of the first 30 visually impaired half marathon runners to register using the Register Now button below. $250 post-race travel scholarship slots are based on a first-registered, first-served basis. Number two, must become an annual or lifetime member of USABA by October 31st. Number three, must start the Philadelphia distance run. Number four, must provide documentation of legal blindness. Number five, must attend the mandatory pre-race meal and logistics meeting. Guides, apply to serve as a sighted guide using the Register Now button below. Registration, click Register Now below. You will be emailed your registration and hotel links. Number 2022 Endurance Event, number two. USABA Marathon National Championships, California International Marathon. Race date, Sunday, December 4th, 2022. Pre-race gatherings, Saturday, December 3rd, 2022. Post-race awards, Sunday, December 4th, 2022. Distance, marathon, and marathon relay, two-person teams. Host hotel, Holiday Inn, Sacramento, downtown, 300 J Street, Sacramento, California, 95814. Awards. USABA will award the top three visually impaired men and women division winners prize money in the amount of first place $1,000, second place $500, and third place $250. Prize money is not broken down into visual classifications. USABA will award medals to the top three finishers in the B1, B2, and B3 classifications for both men and women. Medals are only provided to U.S. runners since the CIM serves as the USABA Marathon National Championships for the United States. CIMVI Elite Marathon Standard. The following is required to qualify for a complimentary entry to the California International Marathon. Number one, sub-3-minute marathon finish for visually... Sub-3-hour marathon finish for visually impaired men. Number two, sub-3:25 marathon finish for visually impaired women. Number three, the time standard must have been achieved within the past 2 years. Post-race scholarships, $500, 40 total, 10 reserved for U.S. veterans. Requirements. Number one, be one of the first 40 visually impaired marathon runners to register using the Register Now button below. $500 post-race travel scholarship slots are based on a first-registered, first-served basis. Number two, must become an annual or lifetime member of USABA by October 31st. Number three, must start the California International Marathon. Number four, must have previously completed a marathon in under 6 hours or a half marathon in under 2 hours, 45 minutes. Number five, must provide documentation of legal blindness. Number six, must attend the mandatory pre-race meals and logistics meeting. Guides, apply to serve as a sighted guide using the Register Now button below. Registration, click Register Now below. You will be emailed your registration and hotel links. Questions, email Sarah Hartman, USABA Partnerships and Development Director, shartmann at usaba.org. From npr.org, after a stroke blind in one eye, Frank Bruni focused on the future, Bruni. Dateline March 22nd. One morning in 2017, New York Times columnist Frank Bruni woke up to find that everything looked pretty blurry and smeared. There was a fog, a dappled fog over the right side of my field of vision, Bruni says. And I thought for hours that there must be some gunk in my eye, or maybe I'd had too much to drink the night before. Then I thought, oh no, it's my glasses, I just have to clean them. And on until deep into the day, I realized there was something wrong beyond all of that. Bruni, then 52, soon learned that he'd experienced a rare kind of stroke that had irreparably damaged his optic nerve. The prognosis? His vision in that eye would never return. What's more, there was a 20-40% chance that another stroke would impact his good eye. The news was devastating. I had some emotional, psychological, and really spiritual work to do to accept this and figure out how to go on in the most productive and constructive fashion, he says. But after going through a period of shock and terror, Bruni saw himself at a decision point. He could fixate on what had been lost, or he could focus on what remained. He chose to do the latter. I feel like once you've recognized what's happened, it is so important and so constructive and so right to focus instead on all the things you can still do, all the blessings that remain, he says. I ended up determined to show myself that I could adapt to whatever was going to happen. In the memoir, The Beauty of Dusk, Bruni chronicles the changes to his vision and the adaptations he's had to make in his work, personal life, and attitude. The book also profiles a number of other people who have survived and thrived in ways that Bruni says are profoundly instructive. I decided it was time to learn about how human beings, at their most resilient, survive and make the most of these situations, he says. And that was my personal journey, and also the journey that I ended up describing in the book. Interview highlights. On experiencing how nimble and plastic the brain is through this experience. I was terrified of the idea that I would lose all of my eyesight. I'm not anymore. I hope I never do. I wish that what had happened to me so far didn't. But you learn quickly that the senses that remain often become sharper in compensation for the sense that has been compromised. You learn how nimble the brain is. I've been shocked at the fact that sometimes, in certain situations, I can take in visual information that I didn't before, because I'm optimizing what's available to me. I'm focusing on certain details with my one good eye in a way that I never had with my two good eyes. And that's both a physical promise of sorts, but also an example of just how nimble our brains and our bodies can be when circumstances demand it. And when you realize that, when you see it in practice in your own life, it takes away a lot of the anxiety and fear of what's coming down the road, and frankly, of aging. Because as we age, we're all going to lose certain physical potencies and be asked to make certain adjustments and compensations. On becoming single when a long-term relationship ended around the time of his stroke. The possibility of being blinded in the second eye was actually one of the reasons when we had decided whether to try to repair our relationship or not. I decided not to. And I know that almost sounds like the opposite reaction, or counterintuitive, but I felt like the question was whether I was loved faithfully enough, or just loved enough. I worried very much that my partner was making decisions and calculations in the context of, I can't abandon someone who may find himself in great need soon, and I didn't want to be in that kind of relationship. I did not want to feel like a drag or a burden on anyone. But I had a great privilege and blessing there, which is that I have an enormously close family. I have 3 siblings with whom I could not be closer, and so I never had to worry, nor do I worry now. Then in a worst-case situation, I'll be alone, without a support system. Lonely, sure, and I felt very lonely when we broke up, and sometimes I'm still lonely, but lonely is endurable, and I want to live as truthfully as possible, and that's more important to me than little pockets of loneliness. On trying to have an optimistic outlook, modeling after his mother who had cancer. My mother survived with cancer, a very rare and potent cancer, for much longer than she was supposed to. Like her, I decided to be as active as possible. I decided to try to do as much as I could do, rather than kind of to say, oh wow, I have to do less now. I probably read more books in a month since losing vision in one eye than I did beforehand. Read has become a different verb. I listened to 2/3 of them, and I've trained myself to do that in a way I had never imagined possible. I listen to these books at 1.7 or 1.8 speed, and I realize there's so much power and agency I still have. And focusing on that, making sure that is always where I point myself and steer myself, that's been a real lesson for me, and I hope it's a lesson for other people too. On how the vision loss has changed his feelings about aging. I used to be extremely fearful of aging. I used to think, oh, you know, when I lose the ability to do X, I'm going to be inconsolable. When I lose the ability to do Y, it's going to plunge me into depression. Just because I assumed the loss of ability would be the kind of event that one could not get comfortable with or spin in any sort of positive direction. I've seen through this ordeal, adventure, I call it more of an adventure now with my eye, I've seen that there are many dimensions to losing something, to being physically limited. I've seen that you can be left with enough ability and agency to feel completely whole and to feel completely happy. And so when I think about what will happen down the line, and I know now more than ever before that I'm not going to be able to predict it, I don't dread it the way I used to, and I also accept it as just part of the process. I think people who have had a kind of vision episode like I did at 52, people who have been diagnosed with serious diseases in their 30s and 40s, I think in some ways they get an accelerated and advanced course in aging, that they learn early what we all eventually learn, which is that our bodies are time bombs, but each detonates in a different way. The certain thing, though, is the detonation. And the other certain thing is that you control your response to that in a way that can leave you with plenty and can leave you with a lot of joy. On struggling with binge eating and how his relationship with food changed once he became the New York Times restaurant critic in 2004. That proposal came along to me at a time in my life when I had just felt that I'd turned the corner in my relationship with food, where I'd gotten healthy again after a period of enormous weight gain, where I was living in a manner that felt kind of disciplined and healthy. And I somehow knew in a really counterintuitive way that if I accepted the restaurant critic job and every day was about dealing with food, that I would kind of approach it in a methodical and conscious enough way that it would be sort of the best recipe for not being undone by food. That was possible. It's difficult to describe, but I was probably at my food healthiest, at my trimmest, and all of that during the 5.5 years when I was the New York Times restaurant critic than I was ever before or since. I'm heavier now than I was when I was eating professionally. I ate steadily as a restaurant critic, but I finished nothing on my plate. And being a restaurant critic is about tasting, not gorging. And that is, in fact, one of the healthy ways to eat that is often encouraged. And so it kind of kept you on a schedule and kept you to a discipline that wasn't so different from what some nutritionist advice would be. Sam Brigger and Seth Kelly produced and edited this interview for broadcast. Bridget Bentz, Molly C.V. Nesper, and Laurel Dalrymple adapted it for the web. Now that spring is here, here are some websites for sprouts, seeds, and more listed in the March Blind Post. HandyPantry.com, new home, organic sprouting seeds, kits, and supplies located in Utah. https://www.trueleafmarket.com/. Look to the Sprout House for certified organic non-GMO sprouting seeds located on the East Coast. https://sprouthouse.com/. Sprout People, https://sproutpeople.org. We offer an amazing variety of sprouting seeds. Seeds come in many shapes, sizes, and colors and offer a diverse range of flavors and textures. They have a lot of variety of sprout equipment, seeds, and kits, along with lots of useful information. Johnny's Selected Seeds is a privately held employee-owned seed producer and merchant headquartered in Winslow, Maine, USA. https://www.johnnyseeds.com/about-us/about.html. Well, we've run out of time for this week's edition of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.